The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and I hope you're all having a good day. Hey, Laura, what was the name of the... What was his name? Okay, Laura knows what we're talking about before the show. I'm going to say hi to somebody listening on the radio, maybe. But hey, look, if you want to give me a call, it is easy. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And you can get in line. Well, there is no line right now, so I'll give you the first one if you call quickly. And also, if you are so inclined, you can email me at info@carm.org, info@carm.org. Put the subject line, radio comment, radio question, one of those, and we can get to it. All right. Now, just as a heads up, let me put this in here right a second right here. Let's see. Luke. Oh, that's who it is. That's right. So I heard there's a new guy going to your church, to Laura's church, and his name's Luke. He wants to study apologetics. And, hey, praise God. And Luke, by the way, Laura's going to give you the schools for free. All right, there you go. So maybe we'll get to meet one day. Maybe if he's listening to this right now, maybe he's smiling. Anyway. Okay, so look, as usual, I go into different rooms, chat rooms in various forms. I go in to VR chat rooms. And I have, I'll get into there. I have one of those big honking VR headset things. I want to get this small one, but they're too expensive, $1,100. Because I go in there and I witness and I share the faith. And I encountered something really interesting. I was in a room for elderly people, because I'm 69, you know, and now I'm a widower. And we're just a bunch of people gathered around and talking. And I went into this one area, and they were talking politics. Okay, well, I'm just going to cut to the chase. They were, a group of them were saying how bad Trump was. And I just said, well, I like Trump. Woo! Oh. Well, let me just say that that... I'll just summarize it this way. One of them said, I can't say it over the air, but wished for a demise of the president and described it and called him a Nazi and everything. And I asked him a question, and I said, why? Why? Oh, man. You know, it's really interesting. They just don't have good reasons for anything. Well, he's a Nazi. Well, why? And saying all these things that just weren't true, and he got talking about the people going out and taking the illegals, you know, out, getting them out of the country, which, if you guys have done any research, Trump has not even done as many as Biden did and Obama did. I mean, it's a fact. You can look it up. But at any rate, the media, you can't trust the media because they're full of lies, liars. Well, anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and I said, well, do you support the idea of the illegals being removed from the country, the illegal aliens? And he said, everyone has a right for a better life. And I said, I didn't ask that. I said, do you support or are you against it? And he wouldn't answer the question. It was really interesting to me, because that's basically the summation of everything. But what was so interesting to me was the complete irrationality. And I mean irrationality. And it reminded me of the cults. Because when someone's in a cult, it doesn't matter what you say, what the facts are. The facts have to be dismissed. The facts have to be ignored. Or they have to be explained away. And that's what this guy did. And, okay, well, you know, it's a kind of a typical representation of a lot of mental issues. Not that I've got everything down perfectly, but it's really interesting to to encounter people who are so brainwashed. And that was just a very profound example of brainwashing. This guy could not give me one fact, one example of anything. It was just hatred. Now, I'm going to see if I can segue into something. I've been watching, I have a ritual when I get up in the morning. I go get coffee, I do stuff in the morning, I have a special drink of, I make full of vitamins and, all this kind of stuff, large glass of water. I just take 15, 20 minutes and do all this stuff. Kind of just relax, a nice way to wake up in the morning. And I watch various news things and different channels, different this and different that. One of the things that's interesting is to go to YouTube, and I paid for the account where you don't have to watch any ads. Boy, one of my better decisions. And so I can just flip through all kinds of stuff, and I'm listening to the complaints and the issues of, for example, Gen A, the A, there's Gen Zers, Generation A, teachers are saying that these kids are violent, they're rude, teachers, in elementary school, they can't hardly read, they get upset if you take away their phone and cause them to study. And there are teachers who are quitting because they can't take this. They're done. That's one thing. Then we have the degradation of our society, where the one side, the left, wants the death of people on the right. The people on the right don't want that, but the people on the left do. That means they're radicalized. It's like Islam. Okay, it's radicalization, and they. And I've seen this before. I've encountered it before. I haven't talked about it before online, where the hatred from the left to the right is just on one side of just violent. They haven't expressed that violence yet. And I was talking to a friend about this recently, and he says that the left are now buying AR-15s, trying to train in order to fight. And, okay, so there's that. Then what happened with Don Lemon. He was just stupid what he did. But he went into a church. He filmed it. Everything was okay. Violating the First Amendment, right? Freedom of assembly and things like that, religion expression. We have the degradation in the schools. We have the leftist stuff in the media. We have essentially what's called doing right what's in your own eyes. And this is one of the problems that was in effect in Israel. In the Old Testament, the Jews, many times, they moved away from the centrality of God's word, God's truth. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What follows that, historically, is bondage, because the coherence in the society is destroyed. The coherence is destroyed, and the morality is also destroyed. When morality is destroyed, women and men live together. Babies born out of wedlock, families destroyed. As long as you can get away with evil, that's okay. Stealing is more and more permissible. Theft in varying forms, extortion, is more and more permissible. And so this is the kind of thing that's increasing. This is doing what's right in your own eyes. It always leads to destruction. As I mentioned before, 1963, the congressional record, there was something read into the congressional record in 1963 called the 45 Goals of Communism. It was published in a communist magazine or paper or something like that. And it was read into the record. So the Senate or the Congress, I don't know all of it. And I reproduced it on my website, carm.org. You can go there and look up 45 Goals of Communism. And it's soberingly frightening. Getting control of the schools, undermining religion, destroying the churches, getting control of the media, promoting homosexuality, promoting sexual freedom, promoting things that are just simply ungodly. This is what's happening in the country. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is because when I watch the news and the pundits and they talk about this, nobody ever says at the heart of the people is wicked. No one says there needs to be a revival of truth based in the Lord Jesus. Of course, I can't say that in the news. I would, if I was there, say they need Jesus. They need the redemption. They need the regeneration. They need the truth of God's word. But everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes. They want to serve their own flesh. They want to stick their faces into notebooks and phones while they're walking about, ignoring others. They want to devise for themselves the means of determining truth and their own intuition, their own abilities. And they can just pay for this and pay for that to get their flesh satisfied. This is the weakness of our country now, because they have we have, as a whole, abandoned the faith. And in addition to this, the masculinity of the Christian male has basically been wussified. Jesus was the king. He was the Lord Jesus. He was the man. He overturned temple tables and he sat with the young. He called out the whitewashed sepulchers, the false teachers, and yet he was gentle with the women. He showed true masculinity, using his strength and his authority for righteousness, and yet he was gentle and protective of the weak. This is what men are supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we get up in our air-conditioned homes and our GPS-guided cars as we take our coffees and our coffee warmers, and we go into a comfortable church, we sit down for a nice sermon. And I think the wussification of so much of Christian masculinity is because the preachers and teachers aren't focusing on what they need to say. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard your pastor in the past few weeks, months, ever call anyone a heretic? You ever heard him call out what heresy is? Or is it a collection of feel-good moments and sermons and illustrations and stories that make you feel good in the pulpit? I mean, in the congregation. Do you ever hear the truth of God's word being used to confront the errors and the lies of our society and the false teachers within our own faith? Have you ever heard this at all in your church? Or in the past year, past couple of months, the past few weeks? If the answer across the board is no, then the gospel is not being preached in truth. And the truth and the severity and the strength of God's word is being ignored and is being reshaped to pamper and to comfort the Christians. Instead of turning them into warriors for the Lord Jesus, they're turning them into children, feeding them, unfortunately, pablum, feeding them milk. And I'm not saying we have to call everyone a heretic all the time, but the truth of God's word is that error is confronted. In fact, so much of the New Testament was written to do just that. And if your church isn't doing it, it's not following God's word. If it's not following God's word, why are you there? Be right back after these messages, please. Stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have one open line. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ty from Tennessee. Ty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got?
Good, good, good. Well, first of all, I wanted to let you know I really appreciate your ministry. The question I have about Jehovah's Witnesses, you have been instrumental in my witnessing and communicating with them, so thank you for that. But I've been meeting with them on a regular basis, We meet just about every Thursday. It's the same gentleman, but he'll bring somebody else with him. And so we were going over the name Jehovah and how that's different, or from their perspective, how that's different in the Old Testament. And we got to Exodus 6, 2, 3. Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3. And so I made the argument according to Carm's website, and the one that I've heard you do so many times, it worked great. And they came back with what they wanted to do was for them to gather their three most, verses or sections of scripture that they think carry the most weight. And then the same with me. They asked me to do the same. And my emphasis has been on the deity of Christ and that Jesus is God. And so I was curious, because I've learned so much from you, what would be your top three go-to verses for Jehovah's Witnesses?
Wow. Well, okay, I'm glad that you're using the theophanies and the issue of the of God Almighty being seen in the Old Testament. I've used this with the Jehovah's Witnesses over the years. It's very successful, very powerful. Here's something new. I haven't really talked to Jehovah's Witnesses very much recently. I don't know why, just the way life is. But when I do, when I talk to Unitarians, here's something I bring up, and they can't address it. And this is going to Psalm 116:4. Psalm 116:4. What I'm going to do is read it out of the New World Translation, because I want to get what they say. It's off their website, okay? But I called on the name of Jehovah. O Jehovah, rescue me. So I asked them this question. Call upon the name of Jehovah. That's always a reference to Jehovah, right? And they said, yeah, it includes prayer. Praying, right? Yes, okay. And I said, you know what the Septuagint is? The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. I says, yeah, now, how did they translate that? Call on the name of the, of Jehovah. They translated it into call on the name of the Lord, or Hakurios in the Greek. So whenever we have the Septuagint translation of that variation, of that phrase, not just one word, but the phrase in the Old Testament, whenever we have that, it always is in reference to Jehovah, right? And they say, yes. I've done this so many times. And they go, yes. I said, okay. Well, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:2 in the Greek. I can tell them the Greek because I've studied it. But it says right here, to the congregation that's in Corinth, which I've been to Corinth, by the way, love it, to you has been to you who have been sanctified in union with Christ Jesus, called to be holy ones together with all who everywhere were calling on the name of our Lord Jesus. Calling on the name of, in Greek, is calling upon the name of the Lord of us. The same phrase is used. And I asked the Jehovah's Witnesses, why is Paul applying that phrase used only in the Septuagint of God Almighty? Why is he applying it to Jesus? Okay. That's a killer.
Great question. Yep.
It's a killer. Yep. Right. Okay. That's one. One I've also, did you do the one with the Genesis 1924, but they've changed it. Have you tried that yet?
We didn't go over that one, but I am familiar with that one just from listening to you.
Okay. We'll go into that then. So another one I haven't tried yet, specifically with Jehovah's Witnesses, but I've been trying it with Unitarians, because Jehovah's Witnesses are Unitarians. And when I have cross-pollinated between the two, I've seen no difference of opinions and no difference of responses. Okay, so for some reason, the Jehovah's Witnesses lately are far less involved online, where I do stuff now online. They're far less involved online. And Unitarians are rising up. Anyway, so here's a verse, John 14:23. It's a simple verse, and this is out of the New World Translation. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will observe my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Why is Jesus saying that he will make his dwelling along with the Father in you? How can he do that if he's just an angel?
Mm. If he's just a created being, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And
great question.
It's a great question. Then you can go to Colossians 1:15-17. Okay. Now, what I would suggest you do, let's see, I get into all this. Here we go. Is they're going to say firstborn means first created, but that's not the Okay, so you can go to my website and look this up. And oh, come on, where are you? Hey, Slimeball. I'm talking to my computer. Oh, there we go. All right. So one of the things you can do is go to, in their Bible, go to Colossians 1. You want to go to actually 16 and 17. And you probably have heard me say this before, because by means of him, Jesus, it says all other things were created in the heavens and the earth, the things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created for him, through him, and for him. Also, he's before all other things, and by means of him, all other things are made to exist. Now, there's a way to respond to this, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not. I've seen it at my site, but the word other is added into the Greek, into the English here four times. In Greek, there's two words for other, allos and heteros. Allos is another of the same kind. Heteros is another of a different kind. We don't have it that way. Like in Spanish, rincón means corner, but the kind of inside of a corner, where we don't have an inside corner and an outside corner word. You know, languages are just different. Mm-hmm. And so they have this other of the same kind, other of a different kind. And I say to them, when I want to get into this, I say, look, neither one of those words is in the Greek. Why does the New World Translation add it? Now, what they're going to tell you, just clarifying stuff. Okay, so it's clarifying stuff. Now, hopefully I've planted a seed of doubt. Why are they changing the Word of God to make it fit their theology? And, it's just because he's the first created thing. Okay, so he's the first created thing, right? And they'll say, yeah. All right, so then by him, everything else was created, right? They say, yeah. And then I go to Isaiah 44, 24. And it says in their own Bible, it says, this is what Jehovah says, your maker and the one who formed you, who has helped you from the womb. Do not be afraid. No, 44, 24. Oh, you slime ball, I didn't come in there. I was reading something else. Why does it do that? I talk to my computers, and I call it slime ball and all this stuff, because for 5 years I was a computer tech at Hewlett-Packard, and I developed this habit to talk to my computers, and I'd say, you jerk, you lame, you slime ball. And so I have to explain to people, I'm not insulting you. I'm talking to my computer. I never broke that habit, so at any rate, it's kind of funny, but that's what it is. Slime, you know. All right, so this is what it says in Isaiah 44:24 in the New World Translation. This is what Jehovah says, your repurchaser who formed you since you were on the womb and in the womb. Now, since I wasted time and we're at the break, hold on, buddy, and we'll get right to it after the break.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, folks, sorry about that. We'll be right back after these messages, please. Stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Ty from Tennessee. Are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, so I was going to read the verse. It says in Isaiah 44:24, I am Jehovah who made everything. I stretched out the heavens by myself, and I spread out the earth. Who was with me? So clearly, even in the New World Translation, it's saying he did it alone. And I ask him, how is it that God specifically says he does it alone, yet Jesus is the one who did it? I just ask him.
That's such a great point. Yep, that's great. And I was recently listening to a podcast from you. It wasn't from your show. You were a guest on somebody else's. It was like 4 years ago, and you were talking about Colossians 1:16, and you said that sometimes you will ask the Jehovah's Witness to read that verse and omit the word other. And I thought, wow, that was so powerful to be able to hear them speak those words without, omitting other.
Yeah, and they don't want to do it. I've tried it with Jehovah's Witnesses many times, and they can't do it. Because they're brainwashed.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is you can get what's called the Purple People Eater. It's an old interlinear and stuff from the Jehovah's Witness era back then. And you can get it's a green one, interlinear. And you can, if you have their own books, which I have, of course, in your hand, and you show them the Greek where the word other is not there, and you say, can you read it now without that? Since the apostle chose not to put it in, can you read it the way he said it? Oh, and you just watch him squirm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
There's something else. Have I shared, or have you picked up this from me about going to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins?
John 14:14.
He says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Now, if you go to, that's John 14:14. So what I'll do sometimes with them, instead of arguing with them, what I'll do is try and point them to Christ. Now, what it says in their version is, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, so he will do it, right? And they'll say, yeah. I say, he has all authority in heaven and earth, right? That's Matthew 28:18. Because that's what it says. And, oh, you slime ball. There it goes again. See, there it is. Sorry. Why does it not fix that? It doesn't do that. On their own site. So now I'm going to scroll down to verse 18 and read it to you. Jesus approached and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. So I just say, look, he says, ask anything in his name and he will do it. And he has all authority. And they say, yes. Does he have the authority to forgive sins? And it says, all authority.
Yeah, and, wow. Right.
And they're going to have to say, well, yeah. Then why don't you ask in Jesus' name that your sins will be forgiven by Jesus, since he has all authority?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes, sir.
Here's another one. You ready? I'll give you another
one. Yes, sir.
Now, this is John. Let me see how they do it in their Bible. John 5:19. Now, come on. You can do it, baby. Get in there. Talking to the computer again. Jesus says, truly I say to you, the Son could do not a single thing of his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. What does that mean? He sees the Father doing? Jesus can do what he sees the Father doing? How is it how's he seeing the Father do anything? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because whatever the Father is doing, well, Jesus overturned the temple tables, right? Yes. Well, what is it? What is it? It'll really cause them to think. It causes Christians to think. This probably gets in the doctrine.
Yeah, for sure. That is a...
gets in the doctrine of divine simplicity and inseparable operations. That's where I think the solution of the what's going on. But at any rate, I'm giving you these head scratchers and stuff like that, okay?
These are fantastic. You've given me actually a total of five. So I called and got more than I asked for. So thank you for that.
Okay. Well, good. You know, there you go. And you got to hear me complain about computers and slime ball.
So. I know the feeling. I've been in IT my whole career. So believe me, I know your pain.
Yeah. I mean, what is with these things? You know, you sit there, perfect, and then all of a sudden it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and you scratch your head. Then your friend comes along and fixes it, and he says, I don't know what I did.
That's right.
We text know
well,
about
thank
that
you,
stuff.
Matt. I really appreciate your time, sir.
All right, brother. God bless.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right, man. See ya. All right, that took a while. Now let's get to Ronald from Utah. Ron, welcome. You're on.
Come on. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
Okay, I'm on Bluetooth. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, great. Hey, I was just, you know, when Noah was building the ark, God came to him in Genesis, like 6:19, and said, I want you to gather two of each animal.
Yes.
You know, put them on the ark with you. And the Lord gathered the animals together. And in Genesis 7:2, you said to bring seven of every clean animal and two of every unclean animal. And my next reference would be Genesis 8:20, where he goes back to every two clean animal. And that's fine. That's not my question. My question is, to my knowledge, everyone on the earth was eating fruit bearing seeds or herbs, you know, bearing seeds, and there wasn't any clean or unclean animals. So what's your thoughts on that?
It's probably that God gave him divine revelation. That's one possibility, divine revelation. A lot of people just
assume. No proof of that, but okay.
Well, it's just a theory. I mean, we can't prove it.
Yeah.
But
copy
he knows.
That. Copy.
He knows that, that there's clean and unclean. When God says it to him, well, there's no record of him saying, well, what's that? The record is he understood. So how did he understand? I can only think of two ways. One is God had directly given him the revelation. The other one is some sort of tradition from older times, from previous to him. There's other
ones. Yeah,
I
agree with that.
Yeah. So those are
possible. I agree with that.
Either one.
Right.
Okay.
Well, right. And so if we just, sorry, let me, if you just embellish me one second further. Yeah. When we go back to the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, you know, and Abel gave up the best of his, you know, sheeplings, I guess, in any other way to say that. And then Cain just kind of gathered some stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to decipher in the Bible what, I mean, Cain was a tiller of the ground, a worker of the ground, and but there is, I mean, I can't find anything that says anything about, you know, that offering a young sheep, for example, is any better than what Cain did by gathering the stuff up from the ground, even though we know the Lord owns all of this, okay, so I'm kind of confused on that point, too. What's your thoughts on that?
One of the theories is that as they go back to Adam and Eve, the pre-incarnate Christ in the garden covered them with animal skins. The implication is a death occurred for atonement. And so it
right.
looks like the same kind of a thing, Cain with Abel. Cain offered the first fruits of the sheep or the goats, whatever it was he did, the cattle. And the implication
right.
there is bloodshed. And that was one of the theories is that was acceptable, and Cain's was not because it didn't involve blood. That's one of the main theories. Okay.
Do you think if Cain would have like taken a bunch of vegetables from the field and gave them to his brother and said, "Hey, give me one of those sheep to sacrifice," do you think the Lord would have been happy with him at that point?
Well, I don't know, because it's something I have to really go in to dig in, because the Bible mentions also giving the first fruits of what you grow, not just what the sheep and the cattle, etc. And so the first fruits, the wave offering, the sheath offering that you would give as first fruits,
right,
these are acceptable.
But at that point in time, there was none of that even, you know, suggested. It wasn't until after, you know, Noah got off the boat that animals were called clean or unclean, or, you know, and it wasn't even until the time of,
yeah, I'm aware,
you know, like Mount Sinai, where, you know, where they were told when to bring their first fruits in, or whether it be corn or, well, obviously it wasn't corn, but, you know, any of the grain, you know.
Yeah, I'm aware. But the point I've already made is that apparently Noah knew what the difference was already. So he was old. And he had conversations, apparently, or something going on with God. So he knew this.
Yeah, he was a few hundred years old.
So,
okay, well, just, you know, it just seems strange, you know. Okay, like, granted, we weren't living 3,000-4,000 years ago, okay? But when we're looking at it, you know, from a fresh perspective, obviously, like, say, living in America or whatever, you know, we would naturally think, well, you know, we want to pay our 10% or maybe even more, whatever we could afford. It just seems strange to me.
We've got a break coming up. Hold on, buddy. Okay, we've got a break, okay?
Okay.
Hard break. Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I guess he's gone. That's okay. Oh, no, he's right back there. Okay, Ron from Utah. You're back.
Yeah, hey, Matt.
Okay.
So I'm guessing this is probably one of those mysteries where I guess if we really needed to know the answers to these questions, there would have been some explanation, but there's just not. You know, so I mean, it leaves the mind you know, to kind of wander, you know, I guess, okay. you know what I'm saying?
We can look elsewhere in Scripture, see his pattern, and then follow it and extrapolate. So there you go. Okay?
See his pattern?
Yeah. The pattern of God revealing things even before it's codified. Because he does that kind of thing. Okay?
Okay, is this something I can find on your website? Or?
Well, not that particular concept. But there are such things like when King killed Abel, he went out and he hid in the city. Where did the city come from? It means there were other people around. Things like that.
Okay. Yeah, their brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. And yeah.
Right. That's right. Okay.
Okay. All right, Matt. Yeah, hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate you attempting to answer my question. I think you did a better job than I could. I guess we just don't need to know that, apparently. You know, so.
That's not clarified in Scripture, so we can only extrapolate. Okay?
Yes, sir. Right. Hey, you have a great night.
All right. Sounds
good. Okay, bye.
God bless.
Okay, bye.
All right. Now, let's get to Rod from North Carolina. Rod, welcome. You are on here.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, buddy?
By God's grace. Yes, listen, early in the show, you mentioned that when Jesus flipped the tables, I was trying to keep it locked in on my memory bank, but anyhow, I want to thank you for saying that. That was so true, and a lot of people are taking the Lord as passive and soft and timid and so forth, but Jesus was real.
Oh, man. Keep going, brother. That's right. I love that kind of talk. He was real. I don't know if you've heard me on the radio say, don't follow the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown, standing at the door of your heart asking permission for you to let him in.
Hold on, that's right. If people say he looks like a surfer dude.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly, the surfer dude image. And I've heard of people say, well, he wouldn't hurt anybody. He wouldn't do anything. And I say, well, he took a whip, of course, and he drove people out of the temple. Well, He didn't strike anybody. He was just waving it in the air. Like, are you crazy?
Waving it in the air, yes. Yes, and like I said, I had a discussion with someone about this, and I tried not to let it go too far. But Jesus is of love. He's timid. He's kind. And I'm looking at them as if to say, "Oh my goodness, they're not reading the Bible. They're not reading the Word. They're not really fully meditating on Him." You know, and Jesus was not this passive type dude. He actually he got it. It was like, in your face, listen.
That's right.
Know ye not. You know?
That's right.
But a lot of people think it's a passive.
I know.
And that's what's all that's the problem in the world today is that a lot of people is in full belief because they're thinking he's real soft, so they move away from the faith.
I know. And I call him the blonde haired, blue eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown. That's what I said it so many times over the radio. That's not who he is. You know?
That's right. And continue to say it. I want you to continue to say it. I pray that you continue to say it. And don't stop. Don't ever stop.
Well, he was a man. In fact, one of the things I did, or I was doing, I just got sidetracked, and I'm thinking about picking it up, going through the New Testament and just where Jesus is speaking or doing, whatever he's speaking and doing whatever, and going through and paying attention, he forgave. Okay, he spent time with the children. Oh, he got angry righteously. Oh, and I found a lot of stuff. And I was thinking about writing an article, a long article, going through this and calling it something like The Manhood of Jesus, or What's Jesus Like as a Real Man? Something like that.
That sounds like a great one, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And perhaps people can get this understanding because they only believe in what they see. It is very rare. All right, now Jesus is alive. I'm a firm believer of that. He is alive in spirit and in truth. I don't care what anybody say. They can deny it, whatever. Read the Quran or read this. No, I'm reading the Bible, King James Bible, and it tells it just like it is. And I'm sorry, I've seen enough to know enough, and that's all I can tell people. Don't take this as something like a wonderful bedtime story or a wonderful story. You know, Jesus, he died for so much.
That's right.
He died for so much, uh-huh. And for someone to actually sit there and say that and try to take advantage of his spirit and saying that he's just a name in the Bible or something, just being passive. I mean, I try to shun away from those smoke, but you still have to pray for them.
Yep, that's right. You do.
You have to pray for them.
But if Jesus is calm, if Jesus is just wimping, he sits down and doesn't do anything, then that excuses everybody else to do the same thing.
Facts. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Gosh, man.
I know. Oh,
but yeah, I just wanted to say that, Matt, and thank you. I mean, I love your show, and continue to spread as much as you can, and keep on speaking up for the Christian faith. And I mean, hey, there's so many people that need to hear it. There are some people that's just in doubt, but hey, just pray for those that's just in doubt.
Well, you know, I try, but the problem is people don't want to hear a guy on the radio named Slick. They want something else.
Oh, wow. That's They're right. taking your last name.
Oh, man. You know, I say to people, trust me, I'm Reverend Slick. Whatever I say is always good. And so right. Yeah, it only goes so far. But yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. But that's what it is, man. I was just talking about this to somebody. Got nobody waiting right now, so I can ramble. But I was talking to somebody about this today, literally. Jesus wasn't a wimp. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about him being mean and doing all this bad stuff, but boy, I'll tell you, he was strong, and we Christian men need to stand up, and more young men are not sure what it means to be a man, and Christian men need to know what it means to be a man, and he's the example. He's the example of what it means to be strong. That's right.
He is.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, man, this is like music. To my
well, you
ears.
Know what? So, yes. You know, check this out. So Jesus, he was a man. He endured physical difficulties. 40 days in the wilderness. Plus, he walked all over Israel. I walk a lot of, not a lot, but I mean, you know, Bible tours and things like that. You walk miles
right.
a day. It's not exactly flat land. You know, you go up and down, around and here and there. He also cleansed the temple. That took effort. Dude, you think
that
about
it.
These are men yes. back then, and he drove other men out. He drove them out. You got to be
Those
strong. You got to do that.
Hardened.
That's
exactly.
Right. And he made a whip.
They want to do for self.
He made a whip, and he was he was courageous in persecution when he knew
yes.
what was coming. People don't know this. But in the Garden of Gethsemane,
right.
I've been there in the garden, and when you look out, you can see a slight dip in the land. It goes down. It's like a mini valley. And the road that the soldiers would have been coming up to get him in the garden, you could see
mm-hmm.
them at night because you could see the torches as they're coming up. He stayed there.
That's
he
right.
He knew what was
yep.
coming. That's right.
And also, Matt.
Yeah.
Also, And not trying to say this totally towards all females, but a majority of females want to try to take over as being men.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it's
right, and they want to try to preach. And no,
uh-huh.
you can't preach.
That's right. It's the devil.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. There are no women preachers in the Bible whatsoever.
That's right.
No,
well, you know, think about it. What does the secular world do? What's a woman? Well, a guy can become a woman. A woman can become a preacher. It's just the Christian version of gender confusion.
Mm-hmm. Gender confusion, exactly. Know
That's
your
right.
place. That's what I say.
They have their place. In fact, when I do marriage counseling, I teach the woman, you better be in your place. I say to the man, you better be in your place. The place is
exactly.
designed for each by God. And I show them what God,
God.
Has decreed.
Yes.
Oh, they don't like it. But I say to the men, if you don't like it, that's not my problem. This is what Jesus says. This is what
exactly.
the apostle, what it says. Now you man up. And if the women don't like it, say, then you got to take it up with the Lord. You either follow him
exactly.
or you follow your own flesh. What are you going to do?
That's right.
Oh, yeah,
men don't know how, like how you said earlier, men don't know how to be men. And whenever something does not go right in the house, The Lord comes to us first.
That's right.
He comes to us. That's right. He don't go to them.
You got that right.
And I've told several women this too. I said, listen, you don't want that title. I promise you. No. You will be crying to go back to your womanhood.
That's right.
I promise you. It is just that serious. And we're living in times now where the truth of the matter is really beginning to surface. And a lot of men and women, they better know that they better study their roles real good and play that role to the max.
That's right. That you remind me, my wife, once she said to me, she's my late wife, she said, you know, Matt, you're masculine and you're confident. And then I said to her,
hey.
I said, I kind of lowered my voice. Well, oh, man, I was really worried about that. Thanks for saying it. I was really concerned, you know. And she just rubs her forehead and turns away. Just having fun. Yeah. So.
Well, see, yeah, that's you. That's just you. That's how the Lord made you.
That's right.
And there are, like I said, there are some women that get it, some that don't. Wow. Even there's some that do get it, they'll try to. This is what gets under my skin too. When you have a conversation with your better half, they can say, "Yeah, but why is it what is this? you're not believing in me. I mean, you're not listening to me. It says clearly in His Word that you know we can quote scriptures together, and they'll try to contest what you say, but." To avoid an argument, I just keep my silence.
Well, I don't. When we were married, I'd only go for so long, and I would say, honey,
right.
You need to sit and talk. And, you know, she'd do it with me, too. I mean, I'm not perfect, but there's always going to be boundaries, and the boundaries are defined by what God's Word
That's
says.
Right.
But I'll tell you something. Whenever I would do marriage counseling, I always beat
yes.
myself up because Jesus is the example of my manhood, and I always failed.
Mm-hmm.
I always failed. I wasn't as loving as I needed to be, protective, as gentle with my wife as I needed to be. I always working on it.
That's right.
But, you know,
likewise. Yes.
That's right.
Likewise.
That's right, man.
But we're humble enough to break down and admit it.
Oh, I'm humble. Oh, yeah. I'm humble. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I mean, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.
That's right.
It's my people.
Humble themselves. Oh, man, there's the music, buddy. We got to go. Hey, it was fun chatting with you and joking with you, too. Hey, God bless, brother, all right? Okay, Rob.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, folks, hope you enjoyed that last bit of banter. A lot of fun. If you want, you can listen to me tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. By His grace, back on the air then. Have a great evening. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.